we're just as happy as we can be in being here with you, and I feel freer this time than I did the other time. And the reason I feel freer is because we don't have any spot that we think is our own. So we're footloose and fancy free. Amen. Now let me tell you, when we left Indiana sick, and of course I knew I was going to take off for 18 months because I had set aside a little annuity, and I figured that if I was going to recuperate, 18 months would give me a chance to do that. So I went to the Social Security office and talked to them about what would this do to my Social Security when I got old enough to draw it by me not having any income for 18 months. And so what they told me there, and then they began to quiz me, and I told them why I was doing all of this. And they said, "My Lord, you ought to apply for disability." I said, "Well, I no doubt could get it from what the doctor said, from the x-rays and all like that. But I'm not for sure I want disability."
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And here's the reason, Brother Rutledge. I feel like if I would have applied for Social Security disability and would have qualified, that might have destroyed my faith. See what I mean? And I went to two other Social Security offices because I couldn't believe what this party told me at this one. I went to one in Little Rock, then I went to one in Nevada. And they all three told me the same thing. And I couldn't believe them. But anyway, I'm so glad that I didn't apply for disability. Because Brother Hardin and his church prayed for us, and our heart problem hasn't given us any more problem. And my old back is getting to where I can do these honeydew things, you know. Honeydew this, honeydew that, and I can pretty well put in 8 hours of honeydewing. So we're thrilled because we're fixing to go back to work for God full time. Amen. Yes, sir. We got our house back here behind the church on four wheels, and we're getting started. We're going. We're going to be in and out of Pine Bluff. Y'all might see us several times until after Mama's birthday party, her 100th birthday party. It's going to be August the 7th from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the nursing home. They're fixing tables and all on the outside, and if it's bad weather and we can't meet on the outside, well, then we're going to go to the dining hall. So all of you are invited, and I hope she lives till she's 100. Then we're going to be going. I thank Brother and Sister Rutledge for making us feel so at home and feel so good. We love them. We love all of you because we feel we're all close together. We love the work of God, the people of God. In fact, I love everybody, but there's nobody like the church. Amen? Nobody like the church. Amen. I praise God for the church. So, I've learned something now since I was here after Brother Rutledge kidding me about preaching so long. Now, I'm going to do my best to try to be a little more careful tonight. He said he was joking. I believe he meant it. But I've learned one thing, you know. I learned that there are four things that let you know that you're getting older. Have any of you learned that yet? The first thing that is that lets you know when you're getting older is your memory sort of goes to failing you a little. Amen. And you know, I forgot what those other three things were. Amen. How do y'all like my birthday suit?
Yeah.
Pretty? I feel like I'm awful dressed up tonight, but I wanted to wear this to show you my birthday suit.
Uh-huh.
And thank you for it.
Uh-huh.
I really thank
you.
Anyway, God bless you. Now, we couldn't keep from loving you folks, whether you'd give us a birthday suit or not. Amen.
Bless.
But you all are blessed, and I want you to know that you're blessed because you have such a wonderful pastor and family. Amen? And I want you to know a lot of people are talking about the gifts. A good pastor and a good pastor's family, especially a good pastor's wife, is a gift of God to the church. And I could preach on that. That's the truth. So you are blessed with a gift from God to have a good pastor. Pastor that loves you. A pastor that loves the work of God. A pastor that believes in the work of God. That's all he wants to talk about. We had a great time yesterday. I wish I hadn't had to work today where we could have got together again. We had a good, good time. And we weren't talking about you. We were talking about the Lord. We were talking about His Word. And I love God's holy Word. Would you let me preach to you a little while tonight? Amen. Get your Bible. If you haven't got your Bible now, I'll get you a pencil, a piece of paper. I want you to write these scriptures down, would you? I don't claim to know anything myself, but honest to God, in reading this Bible for all these various years, I'm finding some beautiful and wonderful things in it.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians 6. I want to start reading at the 12th, and we'll read through the 16th verse, Galatians 6, 12 through 16. Amen. You ready?
All right.
Let's read. As many as desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen? Now, that don't need any explaining, does it? All right. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now, that's going to be my subject tonight, the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God? What is the Israel of God? Huh? Well, now, it's been said, I've heard it all my life, that the Jew is God's chosen people. But I'm going to let the Bible tell you what it has to say.
All right. Good.
They did used to be.
Right. That's right.
Amen?
Where were you?
All right, come on. Oh, I feel it. I'm just going to have myself a time.
Glory.
I feel like I'm going to have myself a time. Let's turn to Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9, this is Paul preaching to the Romans. Let's start reading at the 4th verse. Romans 9, starting at 4. Listen to what he said. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Ooh. All right, you're going to let me go on? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, Lord. All right. Now then, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not... Is that what it said? Am I reading right? That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, Abraham had two sons. Didn't he? One of them was of the servant girl, see? You know Sarah was barren and could not have children. God promised them a son. Didn't he?
He did.
All right, Sarah couldn't wait on the Lord, so she gave Abraham her maid. And she was going to claim that child. Huh? All right. So, Abraham and this maid had a child. And it was Abraham's seed. But then, God kept His promise. Even in Sarah's old age and barren, and was too old to bear a child, God kept His promise. So let me tell you, when God promises you something, don't you back up. He's going to keep His word. So that son was born to Sarah and Abraham, but that was the promised son. It was through the promised seed came Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ comes that promise that God made to Abraham, that of thy seed shall all nations of the world be blessed. Hell of mercy.
The reason he's so happy, he knows what's coming next.
Let's turn to Romans 2. Listen here. Romans 2, 28 and 29. Follow me now. Listen. Let's read it. For the Bible says, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh.
All right.
Now here is the natural seed of Abraham. That is a natural Jew. And he's even been circumcised according to the law. Paul is telling the Romans he is not a Jew. Well, what is he? Would you like the Bible to tell you what he is? I'm going to read it to you. All right? Let's just stay right there in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and let's read the 9th verse. What then are the better than they? No, in no wise we are no better than they. For we have before proven both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin.
Right.
If he's not a Jew, what is he? He is a sinner.
That's right.
And it makes me sick when our Holy Ghost preacher will take an old lying Jew that'll gather a suit up in the back and say, just fits. According to 998, I'm selling it to you below cost. They done run it up to 99.98. Just fits. Just because he's a natural seed of Abraham and telling me a lie to sell me a suit, I don't believe he's the Son of God.
Oh, no.
I don't believe he's a child of God.
No.
I don't believe he's the chosen of God.
Right.
He is a sinner that needs to be saved by the grace of God.
Yes, yes. And people get mad at me and say, I didn't like the Jew.
Well, that's
their old straw hat. I wept when I was in Jerusalem. And I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that I stood in our hotel window and looked out over the city of Jerusalem, and tears dripped off of my chin because I looked upon those people, kinfolk to the Lord Jesus.
Right.
But they still don't believe it. They still won't accept it. They're still steeped in sin, still steeped in tradition, and they're still holding to tradition. But Jesus came to eliminate tradition. Amen. He came to bring salvation. Amen. To who? To the Jew and the Gentile.
Amen. You're preaching.
Oh, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me too.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He is not a Jew. If he's not a Jew, what is he?
He's a sinner.
The Bible said so, didn't it, Brother Mickey?
Yes,
thank God for the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I told Brother Rutledge this, and I've told several other preachers, and I'll tell you, that's another thing that hurt my heart when the United Pentecostal Organization was in Israel having a world conference. And I don't think Israel knew we was there hardly. And that's sad. But the few people, the few of those Israelites, Sister Rutledge, that came to our conference, we had a beautiful time. The Spirit of the Lord was there. They was using native preachers from other countries to preach. And, of course, they were preaching Acts 2:38 because some missionary had carried them that message and they were just so excited about it. It had a new sweet anointing upon it, and they was preaching it with power of demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was in that place. We was worshiping. We was having a time. And those Israelis that came to our services got under conviction, went to our altars. We prayed around them. We heard them speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I just felt so fantastic about it. But then after it was all over with, we got back to the hotel room. I left, Brother Rose, because if we'd have been having that revival or that conference down on the mountainside and all of Israel had been invited to it, there would have been literally thousands of those people receive the Holy Ghost. But do you know why? Do you know why? No doubt that they didn't have it all advertised like that and didn't want them all to come. There's a lot of our preachers don't believe that you can get saved until the Lord comes back to the earth. He's not coming back to save anybody. He's coming back to take vengeance on all that know not God and they that have obeyed not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you waited until He comes back, and if that Jew has waited till He's come back, it's too late, honey. Katie, bar the door. You've done waited too late.
Oh God,
I believe that. I've always believed that. You folks that know me know I've always believed that. And you do too, Doc. God bless your heart. That's why I love to be around him, because he believes what the Bible says. And I love that. I love that.
Bless him.
Don't you?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us. Now, here's what excites me. Now, I want to read the next verse, the 29th verse. This excites me. Amen. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew.
Who is?
Which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. Amen? In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You are spiritual Jews tonight. Oh, hallelujah! 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 Oh, some of you know. Some of you are a bunch of hardheads. I got to read some more to prove it to you. Amen, amen. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, Ephesians 2. Amen, listen. Ephesians 2, let's start reading at the 11th verse. Now let's read this and let it absorb.
All right.
Ephesians 2, let's start at 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, but that which is called is circumcision in the flesh made by hand. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. We stinking Gentiles don't realize how blessed and fortunate that we are. This thing wasn't supposed to have been preached to us.
All right.
Amen. It was to the Jew only back in those days. But oh, what a blessing has taken place. And here he tells us. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Well, Lord, we ought to love him. For he is our peace,
is
who hath made both
one.
What say it?
One!
What's he talking about, one? And he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Who?
Oh.
Between the Jew and the Gentile.
That's it, exactly. Right.
Now, they can put that wall back up as far as they want to, but the Bible said he broke it down.
He broke it down.
All right, are you still with me?
We're
with you. Oh, I believe you love the Bible. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances,
for to make himself a twain one new man. So making peace. Thank God.
All right.
Oh, Lord have mercy. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the image thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Both Jew and Gentile.
Both Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
How do we get to the Father? Through the Spirit we have access. Thank God. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God.
My Lord, you got to think about that.
Amen. To really get you to think it along that line. And now we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And who is the chief cornerstone? My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Amen. In him all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord.
What?
Now, a lot of people...
Dear God, you know what I'm going to say.
Uh-huh. Lord God, most all of our preachers that went to Israel, they was all excited about where they're going to build that temple.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And that just never has excited me
that
too much.
Either. I don't care.
I don't particularly care where they build it.
Be an
Amen? Because when they build it, what are they going to do then? They're going to have Judaism.
Uh-huh.
I understood while I was over there that some of the old rabbis are training some of the new rabbis to learn how to give up animal sacrifices. And some of our Holy Ghost filled preachers are all excited. Now I know why they've invented these fast airplanes. Oh, that Concorde, no doubt. By the time they get the temple made, they'll have a faster plane. I can jump in a plane, now one of those down here in Dallas and Houston, and I can zip over to Jerusalem to the temple and worship. How in God's name can a Holy Ghost fill Jesus' name, one God, a preacher, a worship in a temple where they are slain and sacrificed? That's not going on with God. That's digressing. Jesus come to preach against that.
He did.
He's the perfect and the only sacrifice.
Amen.
You deal with me?
With you.
Oh, Lord. I'd go to that temple and they'd be offering up a blood sacrifice of an animal. I'd cry. I'd cry. I said, my God, you poor ignorant people. Jesus is the only sacrifice that'll do anybody any good in this day and age. We've got to come to him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
My Lord.
Amen. So, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. Now, the Lord will not dwell in that temple that those Jews build in Israel.
That's right.
All right?
All right. We're with you.
We, wife and I, have been blessed to travel. Oh, we have traveled extensively in our feeble ministry. We have been in cathedrals that were lined with pure gold. And that's the truth.
Uh-huh.
But some of those things was the coldest,
oh, yeah,
deadest, dreariest things I ever saw in my life.
My Lord.
No sweet spirit like in this little Pentecostal church. No. Oh, Jesus. No. Why? Because they don't even worship God in those places. They have a form of religion, but they don't have salvation. But do you know the Lord is not interested in temples made with men's hands? He's interested in the church, the temple,
that
holy city, my God, that he is building. Oh, yes, that's what he's interested in. And it says, in whom you also build it together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God don't dwell in this building made with men's hands. He dwells in that temple of yours. And your body is the temple of God. A lot of big doctors of theology are teaching. And preaching says that where the Bible says, my kingdom is not low here, it's not low there. Behold, it is within you. They've changed that verse of Scripture because they do not believe the kingdom of God is in the earth today. They say it dwells among us. I want you to know when you get Christ in you,
You've got the Holy Ghost in you. You've got the kingdom of God in your heart and in your life. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, or it is not temporal or natural things, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost.
My.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. It is the truth. Now then. Oh, I want to turn you now to...
It's first. All about right.
It's the truth.
That's right.
Woo-hoo. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13.
Glory, glory, glory.
Now, this Jew and Gentile business is something that I've been working... It's been working on me for years.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm trying to be honest. I buy every book that I can get and read it to where these guys say different. And I listen to them where they say different. To what I believe, and I want to be right. And I know if I stay with this book, it's going to teach me right.
Right.
1 Corinthians 12 and 13 said, now let's, you know what it said, but we just got to read it together.
Uh-huh.
Now here's what it says. For by one Spirit,
are we all?
Does it say all? Yeah, it says all. Baptized into one body. Now, a lot of people can't understand what that all means. He's going to spell it out a little plainer. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
That's right.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile. All right, listen. If that Jew is going to get into the body of Christ, I want you to know being born of the natural seed of Abraham will not put him in there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It worked all right for him before the cross. It worked all right for him before the cross. Amen. But brother, since the cross, it's been a different ball game.
That's right.
Amen. We're living in the dispensation of grace. He broke that middle wall of partition down between the Jew and the Gentile when he bowed his head on that cross and said, it's enough. It's finished, my friend. That old law is not sufficient anymore. He brought in a new and a living way.
What?
He became that sacrifice once and for all. He became that high priest once and for all. Amen. And there's no other that we have that we can go to, regardless of what nationality
That's
we
right.
are.
That's the truth.
Oh, now let's read this one. Turn with me to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians 3, and I want us to read the 28th and 29th verse. And notice what Paul is saying. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus.
All right.
Now don't you stick yourself up and say, well, I'm better than somebody else and just... Because I'm a male, I'm more important than a female. Some of you females, this new movement that's going on, y'all are trying to get to be a top dog. But I tell you, the Lord equalizes us all.
Uh-huh.
Whether we be male or female, whether we be bond or free, whether we be Jew or Gentile, we're just all one in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Now notice this 29th verse. There is something fantastic in this 29th verse.
Oh.
He says, and if ye be Christ, now, I got to spell it for you that's not reading it. Capital C-H-R-I-S-T apostrophe S. That means something, see? That means if you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you, that means if you have repented of your sin, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and if you've been born of the Spirit of God and you're in the family of God, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's exactly what this means. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. Dear God, I may not have a bank account in this world. I may not have a home in this world other than that little old thing with four wheels on it out there. But I want you to know I am a spiritual seed of Abraham, and I am according to the promise. You remember when God called old Abraham? He left all of his corners. He left his country.
Yes, he did.
He was starting out seeking and searching. Well, when we look Jerusalem, that wasn't what he was looking for. And that he was looking for that new Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, read about that.
Huh?
Read about that.
Oh, you know who the mother of us all is? Oh, it's that Jerusalem from above. She's free, honey. Ah, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen.
Now look, we've been in Jerusalem, old and new. And it's the most fascinating thing I've ever been in my life. It's a wonderful thing to get to know where you walk around and footsteps to where Jesus walked.
Uh-huh. It's great to know that you're in the upper room where the Holy Ghost fell in 120. That's great. But look, according to what I believe of the Bible teaches, Jerusalem is just like Little Rock and Chicago
and Bombay,
St. Louis, New York City. That city, the Bible said we have no continuing city.
Right.
And Jerusalem's right in that bunch.
Uh-huh.
But listen, honey, that new Jerusalem, that's the one that's going to last forever and ever. And it's going to be inhabited with God's chosen people.
Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. You don't believe that, do you?
Yeah,
I know you. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's turn to 1 Peter. Now, this is going to be my last scripture. I tell you, I ain't going to hold you very long. It's not because I've run out of soap, but I'm just getting wound up. Oh, dear God, dear God. Amen. Listen. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Amen. The second chapter, let's read the 9th and 10th verse. These are scriptures you know, and very, very well. He says here, but ye, meaning you, are a chosen generation.
Chosen.
You are a chosen. Now, we didn't choose God, he chose us.
Uh-huh.
Vaughn, the Lord could have left me and you alone.
Uh-huh.
And every time I think about him calling me, it absolutely boggles my mind. With the millions of people in the world, why did he pick on a little cotton-picking fellow like me? Not worth 2 cents with the two roughed out. But his Spirit called me to an altar of prayer. I wept and cried and repented of my sin. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And on top of all that ignorance on my part, he called me to preach. And I still can't understand that. But I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful that he did. We are a chosen generation. Oh, and that's, look, he said, you're a royal priesthood.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Now, a lot of people think that's going to be in the future. Honey, if it's not now, don't look for the future.
Uh-huh. All right.
You're not going to get it elevated on over there if you're not elevated now. Amen? You are a royal priesthood.
Royal priesthood.
Amen? And a holy nation.
Glory to God. A what?
A holy nation. Now, these...
Oh,
Jesus,
really?
These Jesus name, tongue talking, one God, apostolics, that are living and loving and serving God. Those people out of every nation under the sun, whether they be black, white, yellow, or Jew or Gentile, mm-hmm. Amen.
All
those people are that holy nation that's among all the other nations.
All right? Amen.
You follow me?
Right.
I know you do. That is the people that God is interested in. That's the people that the Lord is coming back after. All of this holy nation that's dwelling among all the other nations. That's the church. That's the born-again church. That's the people of God. That's the chosen of God. That's the anointed of God. Amen. That's God's holy people. They're not holy because they say they're holy. They're holy because God made them holy by cleansing them from His blood with His blood. That's what makes them that way. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He says, now you're a holy nation.
Royal priest.
Oh, where was it? All right, here we are. A holy nation and a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So thank God for the mercy. So the Israel of God is none other than the people out of all nations under heaven that has heard the word of the Lord and that has done something about it. They have repented of their sins. They have been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. They have
been born again of God's Holy Spirit.
Glory.
And have spoken with other tongues as the Spirit has given them utterance. And when that takes place, their names is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That makes them be translated out of the kingdoms of this world into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That makes them that holy nation. That makes them that royal priesthood. That makes them that peculiar people. That's the apple of God's eye. That's the folks that the Lord is coming back after. It is the Israel of God.
Amen.
The Israel of God, not a certain nationality, not a certain color of people, but it's the Israel of God, the people that have been born again of the Lord's Holy Spirit. He's coming back.
That's right.
Amen. And oh, we have been so blessed as Gentile people to know that that middle wall was broken down, and through the lovely sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the door was open for you and I, and now we have been let to come in. And we have been made the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we're heirs according to the promise.
My Lord,
I tell you, a lot of people get to talking about streets of gold and gates of pearl and all that business. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be a natural streets of gold and a natural gate of pearl. I don't think so. I tell you, I believe the lovely Lord Jesus Christ could take us out on some beautiful hillside. Amen. And all that heavenly host of angels and the old patriarchs of old and the old apostles and all the early Christians that gave their life in all types of horrible ways. Amen. Just because the Lord's throne and the Lord himself in person could be there and we could be in his presence, it would be heaven. It would be heaven. And I want to be in that number that gets to go and to see him and to forever be with him. Don't you? I'm glad for the Israel of God. I'm glad for the promised seed. I'm glad that we're that because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of him and because of his great love. The Israel of God. We are the Israel of God today. All of God's people are born again, composes the Israel of God. And all Israel is going to be saved.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. That's good.
Amen. You read that verse of Scripture?
Yes.
A lot of people try to take the natural seed of Abraham and make him going to be saved. Well, now all these wicked Jewish people that have died in sin, I do not believe the Lord's going to resurrect them and save them.
No.
And I don't believe you do if you've got any Bible knowledge at all about you. I don't believe God's going to give anybody a second chance. I don't care who they are.
You're doing all
so?
Right. You're doing all right.
Okay?
Okay.
Amen. Let's just use a little common horse sense. I believe that's all it takes. With the Word of God. Amen. We've all got just one chance, one opportunity, and that's now.
Amen.
Right now.
Right now.
Let's take advantage of it now. Surrender our heart and life to Him and let Him bless us and thrill us.
Glory to God.
Amen. I hope I've tickled your ears a little bit. Of course, I know Brother Rutledge believes this. He preaches it and he'd bless me when he got started in the service tonight. Some of the things he said. A lot of people don't say these things. But brother, the Word of God does. The Word of God does. And don't you go off and tell anybody that I don't love the Jew. I love them dearly because they're kin folks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He loves them and He wants them to be saved. And as soon as they'll turn their hard hearts back to Him and believe on Him and accept Him, He'll save them as quick as He will you. He is doing it. Amen. He is doing it. And I know He wants to do it more and more. Let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for the Jews. They're wanting to have a revival over there, but the government is against them. You know what? If you go over there and pass out a tract right now, and some official of the Israeli government would see you do it, they would arrest you and fine you. And if a Jew took that tract, they'd arrest him and fine him. That came out in the paper not long ago. Didn't you read it? You know why they're all upset like that? It's because there are people over there working, and those Jews are receiving the Holy Ghost right and left. And you know what? An old Orthodox rabbi, he is bitterly against that. He went to the Wailing Wall and fasted and prayed. And then he went to the council. And he told the council, he said, look, any Jew that embraces Christianity is just as dead as the Jews was that went through Hitler's furnaces. We can't have this. He said, I make a proposal that every missionary in this country be deported and let's get them out of here. We've come back to Israel to be Orthodox Jews. We don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
Oh, Malachi, shall
we? Ooh, dear God.
Hallelujah.
That ought to make you shiver. I believe our lovely Lord is extending His mercy to them and to give them another chance. And He's giving them that chance now. Let's pray for them. I'd like to to see them all saved, wouldn't you? Let's pray for our loved ones in this country that's still lost and I'm done without God. I'd like to see them saved, wouldn't you? Oh, saints, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we better do it now. The end is upon us. Amen. We've got to work while it's day. Soon the night coming when no man can work. Dear God. Oh, dear God. That's why the wife and I was excited about. We want to get back in the harness. We want to go again. We want to try. I know we can't do much. We're too old. But Lord God, if you could erase about 30 years off of us, I believe we could get wound up as tight as a fiddle string. And we'd go and preach and proclaim this great truth for the Lord God. But help us. We need to alarm this country. They need to get ready to meet the Lord.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen. Amen. Now, I heard... I'll tell you, I was over at my daughter's this morning, and I had on that radio of hers that's got a screen.
My Lord.
And don't you tell anybody that I did, because, my Lord, a lot of people want to put me in the bottomless pit. But I was listening to the news, and it showed a couple that was survived from that volcano. They was camped up there, a young boy and a young girl. There's two couples. Camped up there in sin. Amen. Living together on a camped out trip. One couple was completely destroyed to confine them, and this couple was just covered in trees. And that ash covered them, and they dug out, but it was through a miracle that they didn't get hit. But as they put their undershirts over their faces to not breathe in that hot ash to kill themselves, they finally scrambled over the timbers up to a high peak to where they could get a little breath of fresh air. And this old boy said, we was praying. Oh, God, give us some fresh air. Well, I hope it'll shake them up enough that they'll quit camping as young people, unmarried, and straighten their lives up and really surrender their heart and life to God.
Oh, God.
I believe that's why things is really going to be shook up so here at the end time, try to shake people out of their sin and get them straightened out with God. Amen. One bigger than that. I believe that the Lord tarries long enough that no church will hold the people that's going to rush in. Amen. God help them to come. They need to come now. Amen. Get in this beautiful family of God and be ready to go. Lord bless you. I got to quit. Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory. 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 Hallelujah. This bouquet's about gone, but I want to show you something. Here we are, a mile of the road, a wild olive branch growing off out here. No hope, no plan. And here is Israel, the old Israel. Yes, they defiled themselves. They rejected him.
Yes.
And they were broke off.
Yes.
And they've come just like the rest of them.
Hallelujah.
Now God said, put this wild olive branch. The Bible said this.
Yes.
And grafted in.
Yes.
Amen. Grab it in.
Yes.
Faith of God. He's always able to grab Israel in again. That was
taught. He wants to do it.
That's it. Amen. God's not partial to the Gentiles.
No.
He's not partial to the natural Jew.
Not so.
All were under sin, but through his death he made it possible that we can all be born again and become the seed of Christ, who was the seed of Abraham. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand together and love the Lord. Amen. There'll be singing. There'll be shouting when the saints come marching home in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. When we come with the loud hosanna as the king shall take his throne in the new Jerusalem. Songwriter probably didn't understand this like we do, but it's good words anyhow. And I'm trying to tell you, we're in God's kingdom tonight. And it's going to get better for the children of God. Sing it, number 385. 385. Everybody turn to number 385. Say praise the Lord. I'll tell you the truth, I appreciated this word tonight. You can't deny it. He read it to you out of the book. We believe it. Feast on this. It'll do you good. This explains so many other things.
Yes, it does.
Oh, God.
If you believe this, it explains and opens up so many other things in the Word of God.
Yes.
It's food to my soul. I appreciate it. When the toils of life are over and we lay our armor down and we bid farewell to earth with all its care, we shall meet and greet our loved ones and Christ we shall meet in that new Jerusalem. For me, sing that chorus again and wave this palm. Wave this palm. Amen. I like to see, you know, I've seen people come into church when the blessings are falling. And you know what they do automatically? I see them come in here, maybe get here a little bit late or some visiting minister, and they come in and people are shouting and praising God. It's just as automatic that they come in. I've seen it 100 times right here. Someone come in and feel the glory of the Lord and it's just spontaneous. Amen. Oh, there'll be singing, there'll be shouting when the saints come marching home to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, we'll be come with a loud hosanna, and the king shall take his throne. I want to tell you something and we'll be dismissed. What Brother Raines has taught us tonight is not an organizational teaching.
Really?
It's not UPC teaching. It's not the Assembly of God teaching. It's not Larkin's teaching. It's not the Baptist church group's teaching. They pretty well all go right along the line, same line, because they've all read Larkin's book and studied Larkin's charts.
That's right.
But when I peeped in the book, Mr. Larkin was wrong. That's the reason I can't get excited about a lot of our own prophecy teachers. I just can't get excited about it because they just don't harmonize with what I know to be right. The Lord's coming. But He's coming for a people that have made themselves ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Glory to God forever. Let's love God together, will you?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, Malakia Shalom Oduyama. He, my. Now, somebody's saying, do I have to believe all that to be saved? No, that's not what we're talking about. But you're sure missing a blessing if you don't know who you are. Brother Bill Dross would introduce himself, I'm a son of God. He'd never say Bill Dross. He'd say, I'm a son of God.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, let's love him one more time, will you?